Let's move on and talk about follicular lymphoma, particularly upfront treatment and some of the things that are going on there. Again, maybe you can sort of just take a step back and provide a broad overview of the disease. And again, what the typical issues are that you're thinking about when you see a newly diagnosed patient.
So follicular lymphoma, similar to CLL, is an indolent B-cell lymphoma that is often picked up incidentally when patients have imaging for another reason or present to primary care physicians and have a careful exam and the lymphadenopathy is felt on exam. And many of these patients, when they are first diagnosed, do not need therapy, and we spend a lot of time sort of discussing why. And again, therapy for advanced stage follicular lymphoma is not curative. We can eradicate a lot of the disease, but it comes back over time. The one exception to that is when patients present with stage one disease, which is, maybe 15% of the time, we will use radiation and a subset of those patients may be cured. But for the rest of them, which is the vast majority, we treat if patients have bulky or symptomatic disease, if they have low blood counts from marrow involvement, or have steady progression. And I think the art to treating follicular lymphoma is to try to treat people before they become symptomatic, sort of at that critical tipping point. So we do a lot to sort of educate patients as to why we are not treating them right away, and that's often a long conversation. And in terms of initial strategies, there's really two schools of thought. One is to use single agent CD20 antibodies like rituximab as a single agent, and the other is to combine rituximab or a CD20 antibody like obinutuzumab with a chemo drug. And the chemo drug we use most commonly now is bendamustine because it, in general, has a favorable toxicity profile. So for patients who have lower volume disease, sometimes we'll use rituximab as a single agent, emphasizing that the overall and complete response rates are lower than with bendamustine plus rituximab, but you may be able to avoid chemotherapy. So, it really depends on the patient, how much disease they have, what their performance status is, any comorbidities in terms of trying to figure out, do you start with single agent rituximab, and then if they don't have a complete remission, then come in and add the bendamustine, or do you start right up front with the two-drug combination? And I think in our younger patients who have a fair high burden of disease, we know that rituximab may not be as good if patients have bulky lymphadenopathy. So in those patients, we would usually use bendamustine plus rituximab. And on average, people stay in remission 6, 7 years with BR. So, and now there's this emerging data looking at obinutuzumab as opposed to rituximab showing a benefit in progression-free survival. So that is another option.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about really comparing obinutuzumab to rituximab with chemotherapy. And when I first heard about these other anti-CD20 antibodies, I think a lot of people were thinking, well, there's no way they're going to be better than rituximab. And as you mentioned, with CLL, at least in that one trial, it seemed for sure like it was better. And I don't know, this trial, you look at it, I mean, I don't know if it was enough to get people to change their practice, but it sort of did seem like it had better efficacy in FL.
Yeah, it did show better progression-free survival. I think some of us are using it. It probably will depend on institutions and what institutions decide to do.